Have you ever discovered that sometimes inspiration comes from the most unusual places? One of my favorite comic strips was created by a guy named Bill Watterson. The comic strip revolves around a little boy named Calvin and his pet tiger, Hobbs. Maybe this will give you a reminder of what I'm talking about. These two characters, they share all sorts of adventures together. They have all manner of conversations. And in the middle of all the adventure, in the middle of all the conversation, they sometimes discover some very humorous yet profound principles for life. I was looking through a few Calvin and Hobbes comic strips recently, and I came across one where Calvin is sitting at a table reading a book, and Hobbes is looking on. And Calvin is trying to think about the value of reading the information in the book. And here's what he says. He says, "The more you know, the harder it is to take decisive action. Once you become informed, you start seeing the complexities and all the shades of gray. You realize that nothing is as clear and simple as it first appears." Calvin finally says, "Ultimately, knowledge is paralyzing." And then he chucks the book over his shoulder and says, "Being a man of action, I can't afford to take that risk." Hobbes, as you might imagine, rolls his eyes at Calvin and says, "Well, you're ignorant, but at least you act on it." I think we're living in a world today where people are so frazzled, where emotions are so frayed, that many are following the example of Calvin. Rather than being thoughtful, rather than seeking wisdom, rather than trying to be as best informed as possible, rather than considering long-term consequences and unintended results, people just decide to take action, maybe based on emotion or based on someone else's opinion or based on what they see on social media or hear on the news. But friends, I want to remind you, action without perspective, action without consideration of others, action without wisdom, action without good, truthful information leads to a ton of regret and a bunch of unintended consequences. The issues that we are wrestling with in our society today are too important for us to just take action without first seeking wisdom. I'm not sure we need a lot more information in some cases. We have all sorts of information, but what we need is good perspective. We need wisdom. And so we're spending some time in a sermon series called God Help Us, trying to find God's perspective on the issues that are facing our society today. We've discovered that there is truth all throughout Scripture that brings to bear God's wisdom about these issues that our society is wrestling with. And I want to invite you to look at a passage of Scripture that we discovered last week in the Old Testament book of Micah. Micah is a prophet, and he shares a verse, Micah chapter 6, verse 8, that actually talks about three of the big issues at play in our world today. The Message translation of this passage of Scripture, these words from Micah, looks like this, and we want to invite you just to read it with us. God's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Other translations, they say it this way. God has told you what is good. This is what He requires. Do what is right and just. Love mercy. Walk humbly with God. Now, last week we talked about the first part of that passage. We talked about being people who live with justice. And we discovered as we look at God's truth and as we look at the life of Jesus that to live with justice in our world today includes living with compassion, living with moral clarity, and living with rescue that leads to restoration. Now today, we want to focus on the second part of this passage of Scripture, and you see it highlighted here for you, that we be compassionate and loyal in our love. Now you might have noted the other translation said that we are to love mercy. Mercy is that undeserved kindness that God extends to humanity. And so when we think about mercy between people, we think about it as this: we follow God's example and we extend kindness, whether it is deserved or not. We extend love, we extend dignity to each other because God has extended those things to us. Now, a bit of context might help us understand these words that God gave to the prophet Micah and how they apply to us. At the time in history where God gives Micah these words, there's a big problem in the way people are treating each other. The early verses of Micah in the Old Testament, they talk about how people are treating each other in such an undignified, unkind way. They're taking advantage of each other. Widows, orphans, the poor, people of different ethnicities, they're all being treated as if they don't matter, as if they have no value. They're being taken advantage of. They're being discriminated against. And God says, I've had enough. I've had enough of that kind of behavior. And He gets their attention by having Micah declare that they are going to be judged severely for their behavior and for the way they've been treating each other, for the fact that they have violated God's covenant. The people, they realize what a serious situation this is. And their first reaction, interestingly enough, is not to change their behavior. Their first reaction is, what can we give to God that might make Him happy? And so they start talking about bringing all of these offerings and sacrifices to God, hoping that will make God happy. And God says, enough. I don't want your offerings. I don't want another sacrifice. What He says is, I want you to live differently. I want you to live with justice, according to these words. I want you to value people, value each other. And I want you to live with humility. God says every single person on the planet matters. It doesn't matter if they are rich or poor, educated, uneducated. It doesn't matter what color their skin or what language they speak. It doesn't matter in the context of Micah if they are a widow or poor or from a different country, different ethnicity. None of that matters, God says. Every person matters to me, says God. And they ought to matter to you. And if they matter to you, then you are going to live in a way that shows them mercy. The only way we can really treat each other with mercy, kindness, dignity, and love is if we truly believe that every person is important, that every person matters. You see, mercy is rooted in the idea that every person has value. Every person has value. And I really believe the entire conversation about the value of life and about what lives matter can be reduced to one sort of ground zero question. And the question is this: is life a gift from God? That determines everything else. You see, if you believe that life is simply a biological event, then it's easy to behave in a way that says some people don't actually matter. If you believe that life just happened randomly by some accidental collision of matter, then it becomes easy to treat some folks as if they're beneath you, as if they really aren't as significant and valuable as other people. But if you believe there's a creator, a designer, then life takes on a sacredness. It takes on meaning. It takes on value that changes everything about the way we see each other and treat each other. Scientists have discovered that a single human chromosome contains 20 billion bits of information. Now, that's the equivalent of about 500 million words, which would total approximately 2 million pages, which could fill about 4,000 textbooks. That enormous library of information is on every human chromosome in your body and in mine. And I would say to you that that human chromosome, all of those that make up us as human beings, every single one of them declares that we are exquisitely and intricately designed. Biology would tell us there is a grand designer. And Scripture tells us that grand designer is God Almighty. And we can say, based on the evidence, that life is indeed a gift from God. I know it's hard to sometimes wrap our brain around all of this. Poet William Wordsworth, trying to understand this gift of God called life, he said, "Every single one of us come into this world from the very hand of God, trailing clouds of glory." When we realize God is the giver of life, that He put into place the biology of conception, then the value of life takes on the implications of eternity, and it means that every single life has value today and value for forever, because we are made not just for this planet, we are made for eternity. As we think about this amazing truth, I'd love for you just to think about and look at some pictures and some words that will help us just wrestle with the value of life. Take a look. Every life has so much meaning, so much value. We are told in Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that even before He made the world, God loved us. I mean, think about that. God loved the idea of you before you were ever formed, before He ever designed you in your mother's womb. And friends, that love of God, which gives you the gift of life, makes such a difference in each of us. It makes such a difference in how we live and view and treat others. Think about it for a moment. If life is a gift of God, every life bears His image. We're told that we are His masterpiece. Every single person that you meet has the fingerprints of God upon them. If life is a gift of God, then every life has purpose. We are made new in Christ so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. If every life is a gift of God, it means that every life is unique. In Psalm 139, verse 13, David said, "God, You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb." If life is a gift from God, it means that every life makes a difference. Friends, I want you to know that you are one of a kind in the history of the world. And for whatever length of time that God has you on this planet, you are an irreplaceable part of God's plan for planet Earth right now. You are unique. You have a purpose. You are an image bearer of Almighty God. You are designed to make a difference. And I want you to know that because life is a gift of God, that every life should be treated with value and dignity. Every single life. For you and I to actually try to play God in our life and say, "Well, that life has no meaning," it's to assume that we know more than God. If we look at people and we say, "Well, because they are poor or because they are wealthy, their lives are not as important or significant." If we look at people and say, "Well, because their skin is a different color than mine, their life does not have as much meaning," we are actually pretending to be more intelligent than God. And friends, when we play God, and we eliminate a life at whatever stage of life it is, we leave a gaping hole in society that God intended that life to fill. Life is a gift of God, and every life should be treated with value and dignity. God said to the Old Testament people through the prophet Micah, "I will not stand by and allow you to treat people as if they have no value. I'll not stand by and allow you to live without justice being a primary quality of your life. I'll not stand by and let you take advantage of others." God said, if you're going to continue that behavior, there's going to be serious consequences. And God says the same thing to us. God says there are devastating consequences to society, to family, to community, to schools, to the church, to the world, if you and I decide that some are not as valuable as others. Friends, we don't have to guess about God's view of prejudice and favoritism or racism. God hates it. God hates prejudice. God hates prejudice. He hates favoritism. He hates racism. Say, Wes, how do you know that? Well, I can give you a couple of just real simple, quick examples. Way back in the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 12, we read this interesting event. Moses has married a woman named Zipporah, who was of African descent. That means her skin was black. And for whatever reason, Moses' brother Aaron and sister Miriam begin to criticize him because of his wife's ethnicity. And God deals with it immediately. Immediately. You can go to Numbers chapter 12 and read that event. God hates prejudice, favoritism, racism. In the New Testament, there are so many places that we could point you to that remind us that God intends for us to love Him fully and to love each other unconditionally. The New Testament church struggled with living that out, and so James writes, chapter 2, verse 9 of his letter, "If you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin." Let me say it again. If you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. Now we know it is so easy to play favorites. We know that it is so easy to look at other people and have an us versus them attitude. It's really easy to treat some people as less important than others. So how do we resist the tendency? How do we resist that temptation? How do we root out the seeds of prejudice or favoritism or racism that might be dwelling in us? Well, friends, I want to just remind you that Jesus Christ's mission to this planet was not only to break down the wall of sin that separated us from God, but it was also to break down the wall of hostility, Scripture says, that keeps people apart and separates people into groups. We know that Jesus came because He loved the world. That means everyone, every race, every nation, every language, every person. We know in Scripture that the Apostle Paul said that when Jesus came, he says it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, that Jesus came to bring peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in His own body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Paul says, the things that separate us, Jesus came to deal with. And these walls of hostility that get built up between people, Jesus came to break down. And so the only way I think that you and I can live valuing life the way God desires is for us to experience the love of Jesus for us personally, and then to allow that love to take such root in our hearts and in our lives that it causes us to be able to unconditionally love others. no matter when, no matter who. You and I will never, ever encounter a person that Jesus did not live, die, and rise again for. Jesus values you. Jesus values every other person. As a Grace Point family, we try to live this out as a whole church family. And we know the church is never a place, it's people. The church is never a building, it's you and it's me. And so we have to live this out personally in our lives. As a church, we remind ourselves that we are open to everyone and we welcome all people to hear the love of Christ and to experience grace and the transformation that Jesus offers. And we use a phrase to help us remember that once in a while when we just say, hey, everybody is welcome at the table. Everybody's welcome. Nobody gets excluded from the table. If Jesus wants to change something in us, if there are parts of our lives that need to be transformed, then Jesus can transform it. But we're not going to prevent people from experiencing the grace of Jesus by saying, you're not welcome here. Everybody's welcome. But we actually need to take it a step farther, and we need to say, not only is everybody welcome around the Grace Point table, but everybody is welcome around my table. Is everyone welcome around your table? Grace Point tries to live this out by assisting people in our community, and we do it through things like Love Out Loud projects or Compassion in Action projects. Many of those revolve around serving people who are at risk or in need. And when we do that, we do it without discrimination. We don't ask people to say who they voted for before we help them with food. We don't ask people, are you single? Are you married? And if you fit a category, then you're not going to be helped. No, we help people because they're valuable to God and they matter to us. I wonder if you personally help people and love people and care about people just because they're valuable to God. And just because He prompts you to love them. We care for people as a Grace Point family around the world. And we love people and minister to people through money and offerings and prayers and support. People in Sri Lanka and people in Africa. We have a partnership with a village in Sierra Leone, Africa. We love people around the world. But we need to do it personally in our own neighborhood too. How are we actually valuing the life of our neighbors? Friends, I want us, all of us, I want us to live with justice as God commands. I want us to value life as God commands. And I believe that we can do it one day at a time, one step at a time, as you and I personally experience the love of God in our hearts and let that love flow through us to others. So I want to invite you just to pray with me and ask for God to help us figure out what it looks like to value life more fully than we ever have before and to see people through God's eyes so we can know that they are a gift from God and their life has value. Would you pray with me? God, this truth about valuing each other, about really truly loving people, it is so challenging for us because we live in a world where it is so easy to put people into categories and groups and to divide ourselves between us and them. And we do it in so many different ways. It happens in our world economically, and it happens with our ethnicity. It happens sometimes with educational levels, and it happens politically. And we see all of these dividing lines that are created. And Jesus, we're just reminded that you came not only to help us deal with the sin that separates us from God, but Scripture says you came to deal with the walls of hostility that we put up between each other. And so we're asking today that you would help us recognize and begin to take down, through your power, walls of hostility that might be living in our hearts and in our minds. God, we know that this is not something that we can do on our own. If society had an answer for this problem, it would have already been solved. And while we make strides and we take steps forward and then we take step backwards as a society, we're just coming to the conclusion more and more that, Jesus, this is something that only you can help us completely deal with in our lives. And so I pray that you would help us personally in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our nation. Help us be the ones that are valuing life like you value life. And may we see each other as a gift from your hand that deserves to be treated with dignity and value and meaning. God, help us in this way, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.